Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Today's special guests are Ryan Holmes. He's the Bengals Director of Corporate Partnerships, and Carly Grammon, the Paycor Manager of Marketing and Communications. Why would we ever be talking about to them today? Let me think.
Why would we be talking to the Bengals and Paycor this week? Which, by the way, Sherry Coolidge, that was a great get, these two guests.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to talk to them.
We always do like to have our podcast guests be kind of like people in the news. And really, it's kind of settled into a newsmaker, you know, type of interview. But when I was thinking about what was the biggest news that's been happening,
the biggest news locally, is Jason Williams isn't here.
I was going to say Paycor Stadium.
Oh, that too. That's a strong second.
For the Cincinnati Bengals. So there you go. The melding of those two guests. But yes, my editor, Bro Love, he does fill in sometimes. I love having him as my guest host, even though it's a little extra pressure. And why are you here today?
Well, thanks for having me, Sherry. It should be no pressure that I'm here. Because Jason is taking on a new role for us at the Cincinnati Enquirer, which we haven't talked about on this podcast yet. But anyone who follows Jason in this podcast probably knows that he is our sports columnist. He's already hit the ground running with some great columns. In fact, I can't believe, I think three columns into his new job, he threw some shade at Pete Rose, which is a dicey move in this town. But I thought his point was well said. But that's for another day and another podcast.
You will find him on the Bengals podcast.
He is on the Bengals podcast. And I hope he pops into this podcast every now and again, because until we find you a permanent co-host, I think, you know, I'll be popping in and we'll probably have, depending on who your guest is and what the topic is, you know, if it's food related, we'll probably have Keith Pandolfi pop in here and, you know, who knows? I think it'll be a rotating cast of characters for a while until we find the right co-host for you, Sherry.
I am looking forward to that.
Or maybe we'll just do this for a while and see how it goes. Maybe it's just going to be the Sherry Coolidge podcast.
Well, I am really good with you always being my co-host. I was kidding about the pressure. I would actually love that. But I've noticed, though, that you're kind of busy with your first job.
A little bit. But I'll make time for this. But yeah, the big story of the week, and you and I have both been out of town, is after, you know, how many years have we had Paul Brown Stadium on
the
riverfront?
Since 2000. I can give you all the facts and figures. I won't do that now, but
no,
I could.
No, but I mean, it's a long time to have a stadium sitting out there without the naming rights being sold. And then, boom, you go to the Super Bowl one season, and the next season, all of a sudden, you're a hot commodity, and boom, you're going to sell those naming rights. And so that's exactly what the Bengals did. You and I were speculating. Paycor never came out of my mouth one time. You know,
they were not on my, I had heard their name mentioned as definitely someone that had been talked to and everything, but they were not on my short list. And I do have to say, if you go back in the system and you look at the original story, it may or may not have had the word Kroger in it.
Yeah.
I was just guessing.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I was just guessing as
kind of a space holder, I would have put in like XXXXX, in case that story accidentally got published with Kroger in there. That, you know, I'm nervous about those things as an editor. But yeah, we were, you know, talking about several different companies, corporations in town that might be a good fit. And I think Paycor kind of came out of nowhere. That's why I'm excited to talk to Carly from Paycor and Ryan from the Bengals to find out how this deal went down.
All right.
Let's do that.
Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. I am very excited to welcome today Ryan Holmes from the Bengals and Carly Grammon from Paycor. I know you guys, Paycor, right? It's at the forefront of everybody's mind. How are you guys today?
That's awesome. Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So you know what? This really is, this news broke earlier this week, and I think people have a lot of questions still about how everything came together and like the origins of the naming rights. And I thought you guys would be great guests today.
That's awesome. We're excited and appreciate you having us on. it's an exciting time for both organizations. So I know there's lots of questions, but both organizations are excited, and Carly and her team work really hard to bring this all together. So excited to chat about it.
So, Ryan, can you tell me a little bit about your job with the Bengals?
Yeah, so I oversee corporate partnerships. So for us, that means suite sales and partnership sales. So traditional advertising that we control, whether that's TV, media, signage in the stadium, but then also, you know, our most valuable asset is our marks and logos. So the association with the Bengals, you know, talking directly to our fans who are, you know, avid and excited about what we're doing on the field. And then, you know, they tend to be excited about our partners that have connected with us as well. So myself and my staff, we work with local brands, regional brands, and national brands to get them in front of our fans and help them sell more, retain employees, attract new employees. There's a lot of things and benefits to partnerships. And so we try to find, you know, good brand partners and help their business and marketing objectives.
How long have you been with the Bengals?
So this will be my 12th season. So it's been a good run.
Anytime you can have a Super Bowl in that mix, I would say probably yes.
Yeah, that. And, you know, I started with 5 straight playoff appearances. So I've been in the playoffs more than not. So it's been a fun, you know, decade plus, and looking forward to the future for sure.
So, Carly, tell us what you do at Paycor.
Yeah, so I am the manager of marketing communications for Paycor. Have been with the organization going on 6 years now, so it's been a very exciting run. As well, on my side, so my team oversees all things from sponsorships to PR, social media, our brand awareness activities, and events. So really, everything external facing, and how can we continue to grow and boast and protect the Paycor brand.
And so, Ryan, I would say that looks like, just from the outside of the stadium, and what we've heard this last week, your job has kind of amped up a little bit.
Yeah, you could say that. This is always, you know, the busy time of year for us. We spend all off season talking to brand partners, both new and existing, you know, recapping our partnerships with, you know, from the previous season with our current relationships, and then, you know, looking to drive new revenue with new partners. So, you know, I always get asked by my friends, what are you doing in the off season? Well, that's usually our biggest, busiest time. And when we're doing a lot of our work, and then it really ramps up, you know, the month leading up to the season. But anytime you do something as historic as what Paycor and the Bengals did this past week, it takes it to another level. So we're working almost all hours of the day and doing everything we can to do, you know, make the transition in a meaningful way that impacts both, not just both brands, but our fans as well. And the region. So being very thoughtful, we're moving fast, but we're trying to be very thoughtful about it as we go too.
I think we might have made this your busiest off season yet, Ryan.
Yes, for sure. That is a confirmed fact.
So Ryan, does it go without saying that in your 12 years, this is probably the biggest deal that you've had your hands on when it comes to your job with the Bengals? Can you think of anything that rivals it?
Yes, there's no doubt. I mean, I think when you look at the types of partnerships that get done in the sports industry, your naming rights is definitely at the top of the list. I have a lot of friends in the industry that work for other clubs, in all, you know, not only all levels of sport, but also across all the leagues. And so it's typically naming rights, or if you can be a part of, you know, a new franchise, that's usually pretty exciting and comes along with a lot of new partnerships. Or if you're opening a new stadium, which naming rights is usually part of that process too. So this is kind of one of those things when you get into my world that if you get the chance to do it, it's pretty unique. And then to not only do it, but see it come to life is, it's very, very exciting.
So can you tell me, Ryan, when did you put this on your to-do list, or when did the Bengals, how far back did the Bengals actually start working on this? Because I think from the casual fans perspective, right, or even the rabid fans succession, this kind of wasn't on the radar, you know, generally speaking, until a few weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, boom, we have an announcement. But really, these things don't happen overnight, do they?
It was close to overnight in Carly and I's world. No, I'm kidding. No, they don't. There's time and energy. And I think, you know, part of our job is to look across the industry, especially amongst our peers in the NFL, and see what's happening on the sponsorship landscape. As you guys probably know, the world has changed from, you know, casinos to now sports betting being legalized in different states. So we're always keeping a pulse on what's happening in the industry, specifically in the NFL. As it relates to our initiative on this process, you know, we started really evaluating the opportunity to sell naming rights and, you know, gate entrances to the stadium, which you'll see this year, about May of last year. And we hired a third party Wasserman to come in and do a full landscape valuation on what are our assets valued at? What would a naming rights partnership look like? How could we package it? And so we started this process, you know, last year. And then I want to say Carly and I, we connect, you know, pretty often as partners. Paycor has been a partner of ours, a business partner since 2018, a sponsor since 2019. And, you know, we had this conversation, I want to say it was late December, early January, of, you know, this is something we're exploring. You know, should we have a deeper conversation with the executive team and the rest of Carly's marketing team to explore it further? So this process started, you know, in total over a year ago, but with Paycor, you know, in the last 10 months or so.
So Carly, from your perspective, when the opportunity first presented itself, were you thinking, yep, we're going to do this, or, you know, give me a little bit of what the conversation was like with your team and then the Paycor leadership?
Yeah. So when Ryan reached out, I mean, obviously exciting as a local Cincinnatian, was like, wow, once in a lifetime opportunity. And there was a lot of reasons that made sense with Paycor just coming off of an IPO in July of last year. And so, you know, both teams were clearly on an upward trajectory. And so, you know, didn't think it was out of the realm of possibilities, was honest with Ryan, was like, you know, let's get everybody a seat at the table and go through what this could look like. And so I think we, you know, Ryan had started telling me that this was coming and would be an opportunity. And our standard sponsorship agreement was actually up for renewal anyway, so the timing could really not have been more perfect. And so we got everybody in the room, and everyone was very excited. I mean, to see the renderings, to see Paycor's name on the stadium was very cool. And then when we sat down and looked at, you know, our mission statement of empowering leaders to build winning teams, there was just a lot of synergies that we couldn't deny. And so over the last several months, really starting in March, conversations started to pick up very heavily outside of it just being a concept and really putting what could this look like from a business perspective on paper. And so, you know, it's been a very unique opportunity. We also brought in a third party team as well to evaluate the deal on our behalf with Excel Sports Management and their branding and partnership division that has helped us kind of evaluate this opportunity as well. And then kicked it into high gear over the last couple months to meet the start of the season.
I heard you guys met over coffee.
Yes. Yeah, I believe the first time was at Coffee Emporium, you know, another little great Cincinnati spot downtown.
Yep. No doubt.
Did you, Carly, when you went to Coffee Emporium, did you know that that's what you were going to be meeting about?
Yes. Well, I think I first thought it was coming down for gate sponsorships. And at that point, it was still, you know, the cat wasn't completely out of the bag. Ryan was working on things. And it was just that we have some really unique and big opportunities to discuss. So knew that I was going to hear something amazing from Ryan. But I think the naming rights maybe caught me a little off guard, was like, wow, this is happening. And now, but I knew that they had several new opportunities as they were looking, you know, to continue enhance the stadium and the offerings that they were providing to their partners. So knew that I was coming to hear something great, but I don't know if I would have guessed naming rights partners.
I mean, I have to say, when I first heard it, I mean, I was stunned. I think, and that's how a lot of the fans, I think, were, because it just, to us, is Paul Brown Stadium, and it just didn't seem like it was coming. So I can't even imagine, like, when you heard the news, but I was like, well, okay then.
So, Ryan.
Yeah, just going to say, I think, you know, it made sense why they were, you know, there's one out of 30 NFL stadiums and three, you know, hadn't had a true naming rights partner. So I understood that time, but yes, as a local fan, I was like, wow, all right, let's do this.
So Ryan, can you tell me how many of those coffee meetings you had with others in town? Did you have a short list, a long list?
You know, I think when you go into this process, and I was transparent with Carly too, is a little bit of this, it's a different type of sale than your traditional marketing sale, because, you know, you're introducing a concept like Sherry and Carly just talked about that is much grander than a radio spot or a TV spot. And so the initial conversation with a lot of, we have a great roster of partners who have been with us for a long time. And if you look across the landscape of naming right partnerships, the vast majority are with local brands, companies that are headquartered in those cities. There are some that don't fit that bill, but the vast majority do. And so we knew from the start that if we were going to go out and sell this, we need to talk to our local brand partners first. And that was how we positioned it with Paycor, you know, from the start was, hey, we just want to make sure you're aware as a partner, someone who's up for renewal, as Carly referenced, we're happy to discuss the renewal, but there's some other really exciting things coming along. If you think it makes sense to have the conversation, let's take it to the next step. If not, we can talk about other opportunities as well. So we had a number of those conversations to put a specific number. I can't think off the top of my head, but you know, our goal was to make sure that folks that had partnered with us for a long time were at least aware that the opportunity was coming, so that they weren't caught off guard and didn't know, you know, maybe, you know, frustrated that they didn't have a conversation about it. We wanted to make sure that, be respectful of the relationships we've had in this town, and make sure we're trying to communicate that to all of our partners.
Can I ask how many companies were seriously interested?
I can't give you a specific number, but there were a few solid conversations that had taken place. And a lot of these, to Carly's point about them being gates, they were holistic conversations around the current relationship, naming rights, maybe a gate entrance. So there were none of the conversations, including Paycor's, I don't think, until we got into the last couple months, were really around naming rights only. They tend to be pretty holistic until you get to the point where it's like, okay, we really want to move forward with this. Let's get serious.
Gotcha.
What did you do anything to like protect the secrecy of it? Because at a certain, I can't even believe this didn't leak out.
Let's be honest. Sherry's just mad that she didn't know this before you guys did.
Oh, I did. Because that's how she is. But like, what did you take like any measures to keep it secret?
Carly, do you want to answer that one?
Yeah. So, I mean, we are under NDA, I think, in nature, as our job and kind of what I do from a PR standpoint, but we did make sure that there were NDAs in place and some confidentiality, agreements in place on both sides, especially as conversations really were getting serious over the last month. I think we were a little bit more hypersensitive on NDAs because we were just as shocked that it did not leak. But, you know, it was a great team effort. And I think we all understood, you know, how big of a deal this would be for Cincinnati. And so really tried to make sure. We also, a fun fact was we had secret code names for our projects, to try to keep them under wraps. And so a couple of months ago with my CEO, Raul Villar, and CFO, Adam Ante, we were like, you know, so people don't see things pop up and things on calendars. We had named ours Project SoFi, coming off of the Bengals Super Bowl run at SoFi Stadium. So anytime we would send meeting invites or documentation back and forth, it just referred to it as Project SoFi. And then the Bengals also dubbed it a secret project name to try to keep things under wraps on their side.
And that would be?
Yeah, we actually called it Project Lightning. So that's what we use for our working team because of a few things. One, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they have a competitor of Paycor is their naming rights partner. And then so Thunder and Lightning, but then the pace of what we were moving was lightning speed. So that was how we determined our name, and Elizabeth Blackburn came up with that one, which we all thought was awesome. And I think we're all excited to announce now, so we can actually just type Paycor in the subject line and be excited about it moving forward.
So I have to say, Carly, that there was a lot of speculation, not just in our newsroom, but, you know, members of the community. And the usual suspects came up like, well, I bet it's going to be Fifth Third, or, you know, is it really going to be Kroger? Can we deal with Kroger Stadium, you know? And then all of a sudden, it's Paycor. Was there a sense of, that's right, everybody, it's Paycor. Like, here we are. You will reckon with us now. I mean, what did it feel like to not just, you know, land the naming rights, but also, at least from my perspective, catch everybody off guard?
Yeah. And it's so funny. I was actually talking to our chief revenue officer, Chuck Mueller, about this on Tuesday when it was announced. Kind of love that underdog feeling. You know, we are becoming a force to be reckoned with, and it's exciting to put Paycor on the map. And coming off of the IPO in a tremendous year as a public company, it's exciting to see us continue to grow and capitalize on this momentum and have it be a point of employee pride for our associates here locally in Cincinnati. So there was definitely that feeling. I think when the county was notified, there was an article that came out a couple weeks ago, and we were worried at that point it would leak, but then there was polls on social media, people guessing what it would be. And it was exciting to not see Paycor mentioned in that respect, because we did have then that wow factor moment when the news finally broke, and kind of, you know, resonating who we are and our story and being able to tell that now was a pretty cool feeling.
I think to build off that a little, some of the things that Carly mentioned are exactly why this is a great fit for both brands, right? Like they're coming off an IPO. We're coming off of a Super Bowl run, two Cincinnati based organizations that are growing their fan bases and customer bases nationally, potentially, you know, more worldwide someday. So those, a lot of those organic ties that Carly mentioned earlier in the conversation are why we're both really excited about the brand fit. And then it's just even better that their azimuth is orange.
That's right.
Yeah.
Carly, did you hear from your competitor?
No, we have not heard from any of our competitors, but that does not really surprise me. I honestly would probably be more surprised if we did. But yeah, it's just exciting. I think we've seen a lot of great sentiment shared on social media and in media coverage. So it's exciting to see that come to life. And I think to go back to Ryan's point, it will be cool to share with everyone that, yes, the arrow above our logo is called an azimuth. And so you will see that come to life throughout the stadium in different signage. But I'm sure a lot of Cincinnatians and people across the world will be wondering what that is. And it is called an azimuth.
Can you spell that for me?
A-Z-I-M-U-T-H. And really it signals like movement and going forward and progression of the company and going forward. So it is a brand mark that we use. And I think we had to spell it a couple of times as well for multiple partners and kind of what is that thing above your logo. But it's been a brand mark with us, you know, for the past 20 plus years.
So you had that from the beginning?
I'm sorry?
You had that from the beginning?
Yeah. Yes. The exact date that was, I mean, pretty much since its inception, when the company was founded, there was a little bit different of a logo, but for almost the full 30 years, it has been our logo.
Carly, what was it like when you told employees?
So it was really important for our employees to hear the news as soon as possible. So we had the press release go out at 8:30, and then really soon after, we hosted a company call and invited all associates to hop on for an exciting address from Raul, and they were ecstatic. The comments, the chatter, the who days, and everything was flying. Associates were beyond thrilled and excited to see our organization, you know, make a big branding play like this. So Raul gave the address. We played Welcome to the Jungle. And then we concluded it with a special video from Coach Taylor welcoming us to the family and excited for his team, you know, to be taking the field at Paycor Stadium. So it was very cool to see it all come to life.
So Ryan, backing up to a year ago, can you shed some light on what was, you know, the Bengals not selling the naming rights for so long? What happened as far as planets aligning for, you know, whether the appetite to sell it or the financial need? What can you pinpoint, like, when the shift happened? When did the decision to aggressively go after the naming rights, what was that like and what led up to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been years in the works, and I know there's been a lot of conversations at a number of different levels. I think we've annually had conversations internally, like I said earlier, about just watching the landscape and where it's headed from a naming rights perspective, from a revenue perspective. As you know, in the NFL, there's been a number of teams that have relocated in the past 3, 4, 5 years, and how that's impacted the landscape. And I think when you're evaluating as a Cincinnati-based franchise, how do we stay competitive? How do we, you know, make sure that our fans are getting a great experience in the stadium? How do we make sure that, you know, our players are having a great experience with different amenities, whatever it may be, and we're investing in the football team in a lot of ways? It takes revenue to do that. And I think as you look in the landscape of what are ways to drive revenue in a meaningful way, you know, naming rights is typically at the top of the list if you haven't sold it. So
was there a key member of ownership that had to
go ahead? I'm sorry.
Was there a key member of ownership that had to have a change of heart to start the process, or was it more gradual?
I think it was definitely gradual. And then, like, I think a lot of people have felt in the market, Elizabeth Blackburn coming back right around March of 2020. You know, that's where it probably ramped up in terms of, okay, this is something we should really consider. But, you know, just a number of conversations over the years led to the decision to go to market. And it wasn't something, you know, we didn't announce it. It wasn't something we were going to go out and tout that we were selling. We wanted to do it organically and talk to our current partners first and see where it would lead. And it led to a great spot with a Cincinnati based, brand and company that we're really excited to partner with.
So one of my favorite meme reactions after the announcement happened was someone who put together a Pay-Jo stadium. Is it as simple as that, that this is an investment in player talent?
I think this is, I'm not at liberty to say that specifically, but I think it's an investment in this company's commitment to the region, this company's commitment to building winning teams and doing everything we can to bring a Super Bowl championship to the city of Cincinnati.
The reaction that I watched on some of our, you know, with our coverage and then comments and everything, like, was overwhelmingly, you know, even though this is a town of traditionalists and selling naming rights could be viewed as selling out, I think there was an excitement because of what you just said. People understand what it costs to put a winning team on the field, what it costs to put a franchise tag on someone like Joe Burrow. What kind of, have you guys been able to process reaction through your social media and things like that to the decision?
I'm happy to go. Yeah, I think we definitely kept an eye on it. That's important. I mean, the earned media and the mentions and the discussion around changing a name is not only important to us, but extremely important to Paycor. And so we've definitely kept an eye on the conversation, the messaging. And I think I would agree with you. I think it's been overly positive. I think the stars aligned. I just can't tell you, like, you know, there's been other reactions to other deals throughout the country that may have not been as positive. And I think ours is that way because of the way our fans are engaging with our leadership right now, the way they're consuming Bengals football, the way our football team's performing on the field. And then you factor in, it's a local Cincinnati based brand that's stepped up to do this. All of those things align to make it a message that I think is positively received by the fan base in the region.
I think that's key too.
And it's been great.
Go ahead. Sorry, Carly.
I was just going to add on to that. It's been great to see the overall, you know, sentiment being shared across. And I think to just elaborate on Ryan's point, it's been great. I mean, there isn't going to be a big step change. I mean, the color alignment, starting with a P, the Paycor Stadium, you know, there's a lot of synergies that we can continue to play on. So hopefully it doesn't feel like a huge switch for the local fans as well, which was important, you know, a thing for us to consider, you know, as we really bring all of like the signage and content to life before the start of the season.
Well, I know that, you know, personally as a Cincinnatian, if I just set aside, you know, my day job for a second, it is exciting and makes you feel proud that a local company stepped up. And again, not one of the usual suspects as well, too, that we have a, you know, I think it speaks to the strength of the business community that we can, you know, as a city, we have the types of exciting and growing companies that can make an investment like this. So pardon me for fanning on you guys for a moment. I'm going to go back to being the discerning editor.
I appreciate that because I think that's what, at least I know, I hope I don't speak for Carly incorrectly, but I think that's what we're all excited for is these are two brands that are building something together to take Paycor to the next level. And we feel strongly we're on that path too as an organization. So, you know, as a local Cincinnati myself and grew up in this region, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it speaks to the business community. We're grateful for the investment Paycor's made, not just with us, but to the region. They're doing a lot of great work. And so for a partner of ours to step up like this, for the partners we've had over the years, we're very grateful and excited about what the future holds.
The one question we did not ask, and I can't let you get away without asking it, is... So it's a 16-year deal. How much was that worth again?
That is one that I don't think Carly and I either can answer.
Okay, I tried.
Can we play high low? Like if I throw out a number, can you go high or low? That's a fun game.
Sports betting starts on January 1st, and we might be able to play more of those games then. We're not able to do that either.
Well, then let me ask you just because I'm curious, and others might be too, since you did kind of present this to others. Was there a point where you had two or three very interested companies and created a bit of a bidding war? Or was it more of a Paycor was, you know, an early front runner and that's where things ended up?
I'll let Carly answer as well, but I would say a bidding war is, I hope, and believe that Paycor never felt like that. I think that anytime you get into these discussions on either side of the table, there's always a feeling of, you know, where can the negotiation go? Who else is being spoken to? How serious is it? And the conversation definitely ebbs and flows, but I think that's consistent with any negotiation in life. And so for us, you know, I hope that we didn't give off the perception or ever make them feel like there was a bidding war, but there was definitely other conversations being had. And I felt like we tried to stay above board and keep everything very open and honest and transparent throughout the process to Paycor.
Yes, I was going to say everything was very transparent through the process, and we never felt like there was a bidding war. Obviously, there was discussions to be had, but I think both sides came at this with the mindset of like, we do want to get this done, you know, so what makes most sense for both parties that is mutually beneficial, you know, while it's also good for both brands.
Yep.
That's fair enough. I think people might be curious, you know, who came in second, you know, or who was in play, you know, in the last inning kind of a thing, or in the last quarter, I should say, because there was a lot of speculation. And I think it's interesting to people to think about if not Paycor, who would it have been? Not that you guys will say that today, but just, you know, I'm looking for, from what you are allowed to talk about, what was the interest level like?
Yeah, I don't think there's a scenario where it's like who came in second place. That's not the scenario at all. It's just there were a number of conversations happening at the same time, and largely with local companies and brands. But you know, there wasn't a second place finisher. It was more of the conversation progressed with Paycor, and we were able to move quickly on that conversation, and both parties were able to come up with an agreement that.
Okay, we are done recording. Can I ask one quick question?
Right now, if the Kroger spokespeople are listening,
yeah. Okay, I did.
They are like, thank God the Coolidges have stopped calling. I see now the non-disclosures, because it wasn't just Kroger. Like, we, you know, we're trying to like kind of suss it out. And we called everybody, and we just got a lot of no answers, and we can't talk. And everybody was very mum about what possibly could be happening.
But I have to thank you both, because I realize with the NDAs and such, you're fairly limited, but I feel you guys really helped us get a better understanding of how it went down, and shared some exciting things. Sherry's been writing feverishly. It's just going to be a matter of like, you know, what's the lead of this story here? Because you gave us some fun things, including the secret project names, which that's kind of fun. Very exciting.
Yeah, those were fun. But I think we're really looking forward to seeing it all come to life. There's a lot of work to still be done, but we're very confident that this is going to be a winning partnership for Paycor, for Bengals fans, and for the region for a long time.
So I do have one last question, and this is for Carly. Yep. So the Bengals have quite a few nationally televised games. What is it going to be like for you when you – well, you'll probably be at the game, but when you hear for the first time the big voice, the big, you know, the big voice of God, welcome to Paycor Stadium. What is that going to be like for you?
Yeah, I mean, chills, even just thinking about it. I mean, it is very cool to play a part in such an historic project, not only for both organizations, but the city and as a, you know, a local Cincinnatian. So it is going to be, you know, unexplainable to hear that and to be able to share in that experience with our other, you know, core working team member. I think we're all looking forward for that first home game, seeing it live under the lights. It's going to be very cool. So we are counting down the days, but like Ryan said, a lot of work to be done in the next month, but definitely counting down to that moment, and we can kind of take a step back and take a moment to take it all in.
Well, we appreciate so much both of you joining us today on That's So Cincinnati, and just, you know, kind of giving us a behind the scenes glimpse. That's my favorite thing.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
I am so glad that Ryan and Carly were willing to come on today. I learned a lot more of how that deal came together. And it's so fun to hear the excitement in their voices. Like, this is like their day job, but you can tell that they're fans too. And like, and just hearing people's voices, it's my favorite thing about the podcast, is that sometimes it's hard to like really convey the kind of interview that you're doing, because you're like, oh, so-and-so said in a story. But the podcast is, you get to listen to, you know, and Carly said that she, you know, had chills. I love that, and I kind of got chills. So that was great. So thanks to them for coming on today.
You know, had we not been running long, I would have asked Ryan, like, what did you do to celebrate? Because in his job, that has to be, you know, at least a career-defining moment to land a title sponsor. You know, did he light up a cigar? Did he, you know, did he run around his house with his shirt off, you know, screaming? You know, I'm sure there had to be this moment where he was – where it struck him what he actually did. But
also, how about the first meeting in Coffee Emporium? Anyone could have walked by and overheard that, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
You're going to be lurking around Coffee Emporium. And you know what? I like how you asked the question at the end that you knew they wouldn't answer. You know, how much, you know, what did Paycor actually put up?
It's that one outstanding question. We'll see if we can't shake that loose from the county.
I'm sure you'll get it, Sherry. But I'm glad you waited to the end, because if they were offended by you asking that question and they slammed the phone down, that would have been a very bad interview.
You
so.
Always ask the hard question at the end. Always.
And I appreciate you asking the hard questions. But you know what? Another hard question was, besides the stadium naming rights, is what was our other Cincinnati moment of the week? It almost got overshadowed completely, but then we remembered.
Fiona has a brother. It's so cute. And I have to tell everyone, like, I'm a hard news kind of person. Like, when I'm really looking at my phone and scrolling around, I look at a lot of news stories and websites and you know, what's happening in the news. I'm not, like, watch your pets kind of person or, like, those kind of videos. I have my little dog at home and I love him. But that's just not who I am. And I have to say thank you to the Cincinnati Zoo for all of the most adorable pictures ever of this little guy.
And video, yeah. Although, back to Jason for a minute, he did tweet that he could, you know, be fine living his life from this point forward without seeing another video of a hippo being born. But
well,
that's just Jason.
That is just Jason.
Is,
I am going to miss him
that's
here.
That's so Jason. We should do a segment here that's so Jason.
We can have, like, his Twitter followers weigh in and, like, oh, that would be great.
So we have a we're down to two names, right?
We
for
are.
For the hippo?
Fritz and Ferguson.
I don't like either of those names.
I liked Freddie.
Freddie.
I did go with the F, and everyone, like, of the 90,000 people submitted names. I didn't go so far to actually click on that link and do that since I was working. But I think, I wonder how many F names were, like, kind of on that list. Because,
well, you know, the obvious one that I saw people throw out was Shrek. But if you think about it, that's really weird, because Shrek and Fiona from the movies are a couple. You know, there's like a romance.
Not brother
there.
And sister.
Not brother and sister. It would give you that creepy feeling you got when Luke kissed Laura in Star Wars, you know? So it couldn't be Shrek. I was rooting for Fabio.
Oh, I like that.
You know, keeping with the F,
I
the
know,
alliteration.
And to be fair, who were we kidding? Fiona, her little family is our Kardashians.
So. Oh, they totally are. So just, you know, let this hit your ears for a minute. Fiona and Fabio. Come on now.
It's good. It's good.
But no, it's either going to be Fritz or Ferguson. I like those. Fergie.
I did think that this morning when I was looking at that story that people would say Fergie. Ferguson is very cute. For tweeting purposes, the shorter the better. But
I like when little kids have, like, big grown-up names. Like, you know, a little girl named Abigail or something like that. Not Abby, but they call her Abigail, you know? So that's kind of like Ferguson, to see a little baby hippo with a big grown-up name like Ferguson.
So we're going to find out on Monday.
What
so
do you think
everyone
it'll be?
Well, I like Ferguson, so I hope that's what it is, but we'll see.
That is a That's So Cincinnati moment that 90,000 people are going to weigh in on what the hippo's name should be. I'm so proud of us.
I know.
We have our priorities straight, don't we?
It's, you know what? In the heat of the summer, you know what I want to talk about? The Bengals, as we record, preseason game is coming up Friday night, and a baby was born at the zoo, a new zoo baby. I'm here for it. City Hall is still, you know, closed. They're not having any meetings. The big trial that we've talked about so much here, pretty much over. And so I'm here for this kind of news.
We needed a lighter week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
All right. Well, brace for it, because they don't last that long. Anyway, well, thanks for letting me crash the podcast, Sherry. It's always fun.
Thanks for coming.